Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. That's where we're going to end the reading of God's word, which stands forever. As an active kid growing up, one of my least favorite times of day was nap time. I loved to be outside and play and dig holes and build forts and pound nails into the ground, all kinds of good things. I didn't have time for a nap. There are too many things to do. So nap didn't make sense to me, but my mom forced me to take a nap. When I grew a bit older, my nap morphed into sort of a quiet time, and so I didn't have to sleep. But I did have to be in my bed, and she said if I was in bed, I could read books and stuff. And that gave me unbridled joy to sit in my bed and look at books. No, I wasn't a big fan of quiet time or reading books. There was way too much stuff to do outside. Growing up in Phoenix, you could go outside and all year round. I used to think taking naps were just a huge waste of time. And for you kids here, still young kids, you may think the same thing. You may think that naps are such a waste of time. There's so much else to do. You'd rather be doing so many other things. But if you're a parent here, you understand the importance of a nap in the life of your child. Naps are very important to their emotional and physical well-being. If they don't get their naps, then the day quickly melts away into disaster and chaos. And not only is your life miserable, but your child is miserable. Life isn't good for either of you. Little children need regular naps to be rejuvenated and really to have their whole life reoriented. Naps make life so much better. Well, as God made the world and as he made the human race, mankind, Adam and Eve, he made us in such a way that we require rest, that we need to be rejuvenated. And he built into our schedule a routine of work and rest. He built this into our daily routine. We work during the day, we rest and sleep at night, and we wake up. If we've had enough sleep, we wake up refreshed and rejuvenated. And when we don't get enough sleep, we can see how easily our days then can melt away into disaster. Everything's harder. Life is much better if you have good rest. God not only built rest into our daily routine, but he also built rest into our weekly routines. One day out of seven is designated to be a day of rest. God built this required rest into our weekly schedules in order to rejuvenate us physically, to rejuvenate us spiritually, to reorient our lives with an eternal perspective. But sadly, oftentimes, like an ignorant kid who can't sit still, who'd rather be doing anything else except rest, we also pass over this day. We bypass this required rest, and we do so to our own spiritual and emotional detriment. In a busy society where our responsibilities are multiplying with technology, we have added responsibilities at work, at home, we need to have the prescribed time of rest in order to be rejuvenated. That's the way God made us. And that's the pattern he lays out here. During creation, God lays out this pattern for us to follow by learning to rest on the Lord's Day. And as we learn to rest on the Lord's Day, you will find your delight in the Lord, and you will ride on the heights of the earth. The Lord's Day is a mandatory blessing or a required rest. So learn to cherish it, and the Lord will be rejuvenate you. So God has been hard at work creating the whole world, creating all things out of nothing. The universe is in its place. The planets and stars are in motion. The cycles of the earth are in motion as well. Mankind is in the garden enjoying the creation, enjoying God. And it says that God finished his work of creating, and he rested on the seventh day. We may wonder, why in the world did God need to rest? Did God come to the end of creation week all worn out and exhausted from his work? Well, of course not. Even though God used unimaginable power to create the heavens and the earth, it didn't diminish his strength or energy one bit. God is unchanging, and no matter how much energy he expands, his energy level never decreases. It's never diminished. So he didn't need this period of rest to recover. Well, then why did he rest? The only reason he rested was to set a pattern for life in this world. To work 6 days and to rest the seventh. From the very beginning, this was the pattern of life on earth. Adam and Eve were to rest one day out of seven, and this was to be the pattern that was that the whole entire human race was to follow. And so here at the beginning of all things, God gives Adam and Eve three big commands that we call the creation ordinances. One, they're to multiply and fill the earth. Two, they are to subdue the earth and rule over it. And three, they are to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. Well, to reaffirm that this is to be an ongoing pattern in life, thousands of years later, thousands of years after this first week, this creation week, he led his people out of Israel. He led his people Israel out of Egypt. They came to Mount Sinai, and there at Mount Sinai, God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments, which is a summary of the moral law. And the fourth commandment there says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. By saying remember the Sabbath day, he's not making a new command. This isn't a command that just fits into that fits in for the nation of Israel or fits into the ceremonial system of Israel. Instead, it was a reminder of the pattern set from the very beginning, which was to be the pattern set for the rest of human life. To work 6 days and to rest, to remember the Sabbath day. After the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus, the day then changed from the Sabbath, Saturday, to Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. The pattern is the same, but the day changed. And it changed because just as God created his work or finished his work of creation and then rested, in the same way Jesus finished his work of redemption and then rose on the first day of the week and rested. And so from that point on, the New Testament believers began to meet that first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And that's the New Testament Sabbath. The day changes, the cycle or the pattern stays the same. God built this day into our schedule, into our weekly schedule, by modeling it himself so that we would have a regular time to be refreshed and rejuvenated. And I want to think about three benefits, three blessings that God intends for us to get from this day of rest. First of all, God gives us this day of rest to be rejuvenated physically and mentally. Or to be rejuvenated physically and mentally. After 6 days of hard work, you get tired. And so God built one day each week into our week where we get to recover physically and mentally. In the fourth commandment, God says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, which literally means rest. The seventh day is a day of rest to the Lord. This means that if we are to appropriately use the day of rest, we have to first get all of our work done on the other 6 days so it doesn't spill over into this day of rest. And so we have to discipline ourselves. We discipline ourselves to actually do the work during those 6 days so that we can actually rest on this seventh day, on the day of rest. So as you think about your life, think about your schoolwork or your chores around the house or your grading, if you're a teacher or other work that you bring home from the office or even work around the house. Can you order your 6 days of work in a better way so that you can rest in a better way on the day of rest. The more you get done in those 6 days, the more this day will be a blessing for you. The more you're able to keep stuff from spilling into this day, the more it will be a time of rejuvenation and refreshment. This rest isn't meant to simply just apply to our physical bodies, but to our minds as well. Sometimes our bodies may be at rest, sitting in a chair or laying in bed, but our minds are continuing to race with all the responsibilities, all the activities, maybe racing with all the homework that we've been given or the jobs that we have at work. Our minds continue to race. And so we need to rest. We need to be able to rest on this day, not just from physical activity, but from the activity of our minds, to rest from the stress and the weight of responsibility, to be able to set aside the work or the situations or the circumstances that weigh on you. We need to rest physically and mentally in order to be recharged. Now, it's important to understand that this day of rest was never meant to just be an individual day of rest, but it was meant to be a rest for the entire community as well. In the fourth commandment, we're told, on it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, your livestock, and even the sojourner who's within your gates. He talks about gates there to indicate that this isn't just, he's not just talking to individuals or families in their homes, but he's actually talking about the community. Those who are within the city gates, make sure that they also can rest on this day. You think of creation as well. Let the animals rest. Let the creation rest also on this day. It's not just a personal rest, but it's a rest for the entire community. So on this day, don't be just concerned about you getting your time or you getting your rest, but make it so that your family can rest. Make it so that the extended community can rest around us, so that even a foreigner who's passing through Beaver Falls would be able to enjoy this rest. So when we consider what we're doing on the Lord's Day, we aren't to just think about resting ourselves, but as far as it depends on us, how can we encourage rest, the rest of the community to rest as well? We are to regard this day as a blessing. We get a nap. We get to rest. What things can you do to make the Lord's Day a real day of rest? What can you do to make this day a day of rest for your wife, for your family, for your community? In an age where we're driven by money and we're urged to work hard to get ahead, to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, to work hard to achieve the American dream, where a workaholic is actually admired, or to stand out as a testimony loud and clear to the world that work does not control our lives or dictate our actions. Instead, our lives are arranged by God who created us. And in honor of Him, we take this day to rest physically and mentally in order to be refreshed. Learn to live with this day of rest. Learn to live in this routine of rest. And God will physically and mentally rejuvenate us. So God gave this day of rest for us to be mentally and physically rejuvenated. He also gave us this day of rest in order to be spiritually rejuvenated. The act of resting is actually mentioned quite a few times in Scripture, but it's meant always in reference to being an act of faith. By resting, we indicate that we are utterly dependent on God. We rest in God. It's an act of faith. And I want to point out two ways that this day is meant to be a spiritual resting in God. First, we learn to rest in God knowing that He's in control of the circumstances that are going on in our lives. We learn to rest in God knowing that He's in control of the circumstances of our lives. Like I said, the Bible talks a lot about resting, but it's never meant to just be inactivity or sitting around or being lazy, but rather it was the act of being filled with peace, knowing that God is in control. The Bible is filled with trouble, tumultuous times, circumstances, struggles. And in the midst of those times, we are regularly urged to be silent or to rest or to be still. Psalm 46 says that even if the worst case scenario happens, if the mountains get thrown into the sea, if the mountains of your life crumble, we don't need to be afraid. But rather, we are to be still and know that the Lord is God. To be still. Psalm 62 says, "My soul quietly rests in God alone." It's the imagery of resting in God. The Lord's Day is like this island in the midst of the rough seas of life. And on this calm island of rest, we are reminded that we rest securely and immovably in God, who is in complete control of every aspect of our lives. Maybe there are things going on in your life, things that are obviously outside of your control, things that overwhelm you and discourage you, things that keep you up at night. And you feel like throughout the week you're tossed just among the waves. Well, God put this day into your week so that you would find rest on that island in the midst of the stormy sea. That you'd find rest in the God who is in control of those waves. Maybe you're feeling the weight of responsibility right now. Whether it's work, whether it's schoolwork, responsibilities at home, or maybe you're in a circumstance which is really hard to discern and you're trying to be faithful, but you don't quite know what to do and you're anxious and you're worried and you feel the weight of responsibility. Well, today, take a deep breath and be still before the Lord. That's what this day is for. Be still and know that the Lord is God, that He watches over you, that He holds you by your right hand, that He is always good, that He will guide your every step just as He promised. Maybe you're feeling the weight of broken relationships, where again, you feel helpless to bring about any reconciliation. This is your day to rest in God. To rest in God that He will hear your prayers and He will always do what's good. One of the indications of not using this day the way God intends us to use them is because if we continue to be worn out and burned out and overwhelmed. When that dominates our lives, if that characterizes you, then you need to relearn what this day was intended to be. I need to relearn what this day is intended to be. To use it as a day to bathe in the promises of God, to sing praises to Him, to pray to Him, to rest in Him. And again, as we think about this, it's not just your own individual resting in God, but rather it's a collective resting in God. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. We are gathered together to rest in God. As a community, we gather to worship God. Together, we bathe in His promises, reminding each other of the promises of God. Together, we sing praises and we pray to Him. We are at rest in God. We are still before the Lord. And we encourage each other to find their rest in God. Use this, the Lord's Day, as your day of rest, to rest in God, to trust that He is in control and that He is good, to trust God with your circumstances. That's the first way that where we find spiritual rest. We find rest in God in the midst of our circumstances. The second way that we find spiritual rest on this day is that we rest in God for our salvation. We rest in God for our salvation. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." By enjoying this day of rest, we actually learn, or we're reminded, that we rest alone in Jesus Christ. We're reminded that Jesus is the one who gives us real rest. We're reminded that we can do nothing to earn God's favor or love. We can't do anything to earn our salvation, but God simply and freely gives us this gift of life. That we can't earn it. And so we're still before the Lord. Today you may feel like a failure. A failure in life. I know I failed many, many, many times this past week. And I feel like a failure. In sin, in my mistakes, not doing what I should have done. I come with this weight of being a failure, and maybe you come that way too. But as we take time to be still before the Lord, we are reminded that He loves us, not because of how well we did this past week or how well we performed, but simply because of His grace. His grace that's given to us in Jesus Christ. And He takes off that burden of all those failings and those sins, and He reassures us of His love. Again, this is an aspect of that applies to the community as well. Together we rest from our work and we gather for worship to be a testimony that we as a community actually live by grace through Jesus Christ. We didn't earn anything to be here. We didn't work hard enough to get here. But God freely and graciously receives us into His house, into His family, and we are given every spiritual blessing simply because we rest in Him alone. In a world where you have to earn your paycheck, you have to earn your position, you have to earn your relationships. By resting on the Lord's Day, we learn to live as a testimony to the world that we rest in God's salvation, not because we earned it, because we worked hard enough to get it, but because He is gracious and forgiving. One author wrote, "We are called to live a life that radiates the conviction that God is in control and that we are saved by faith, not by works." One of the clearest ways that we can radiate this conviction is that we don't join in the workaholic and entertainment world, the rat race of this world, but rather we rest in God on the Lord's Day, indicating that we rest in Jesus Christ, who controls the circumstances of our lives for good and grants us His salvation. We're showing the world that we rest in Christ for our salvation. We are to live in a routine of spiritual rest, both individually and as a community, and God will refresh us with His Spirit. So God gave us this Lord's Day, this day of rest, to be rejuvenated physically and mentally, to be rejuvenated spiritually, and third, God gave us this day of rest to be reoriented in our perspectives. To be reoriented in our perspective. This day of rest, we are reminded of our future rest, which reorients the rest of our lives. We are reminded of the future glory that awaits us. In Hebrews 4, we're told that there remains a promise of entering God's rest. And that's speaking of the rest that we will enjoy in heaven and later in the new heavens and the new earth. And we will enjoy full and complete rest. We will never be spiritually exhausted or physically or mentally or emotionally exhausted ever again. But we will be in this constant state of refreshment and glory. That's what the Lord's Day points us to. It points us to that future rest. Even when God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them this pattern to follow. Even before the fall, they were to rest on this day, on the Sabbath day. And that indicated that there was a future rest, even for them, that awaited them, a rest of glory. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world, but they anticipated the glorified world that was to come. They were to anticipate a final glorious rest. So by creating a day of rest, he indicates that there is a future rest that awaits us, a constant state of refreshment that awaits us. That was for Adam and Eve before they fell. How much more should we be anticipating that final rest as we live in a cursed, sin-torn world? This promised rest remains for us. And every time we rest physically and spiritually on the Lord's Day, we're reminded of the rest that awaits us in glory. You can imagine the time when you will enter into the very presence of God. The stress and the troubles, the responsibilities, the mistakes, the sins, the hurts, the sorrows, all those things that weigh heavily on you right now. Those things that keep you awake at night, they will forever melt away and be replaced with an eternal refreshment. It comes only from your Savior. No more tears, no more struggle, but full and complete rest. Rest like we have not known before. God built this day into our week so that we'd be reminded of that rest, so that the perspectives of our lives would be reoriented. That we'd be reminded of our eternal perspective. And we're reminded that our troubles are really slight and momentary compared to that glory that's going to be revealed. That glory that awaits us. We think these troubles are hard, but once we see the reality of glory, we see them in perspective and they're slight and momentary. Again, this is an anticipation that we're to be reminded of as a community, not just as individuals. And so when we gather together for worship, this is a taste of the final rest that is to come. In Hebrews chapter 8, it says that what we do here is a shadow of the glorious events that are happening in heaven. And together we are reminded that that rest awaits us when we will gather together with the angels surrounding the throne of God, singing his praises on forever and ever. Live in a routine of spiritual rest, individually and as a community, and God will remind us of the eternal rest that awaits us. You can imagine as nap time draws near, this 2-year-old begins to melt away at every small problem, and they are throwing tantrums for no apparent reason. Life is so hard, nothing seems to go right, everything's out of whack. They go up to their bed, they cry for a little while, but finally they fall asleep and they rest. And after a few hours, they wake up and it's like a whole new world again. After their nap, they're refreshed physically, emotionally. Their whole life is reoriented. Life is good again. Their circumstances didn't change. They're still in the same house, have the same family, have the same toys. Everything's the same, but their whole life was reoriented. Life is good again. They were refreshed by that time of rest. Well, the rest that God built into our daily, our weekly routine on the Lord's Day is meant to be the same way for us. You may be in a bad state right now, frustrated, you're losing your temper, you're overwhelmed by your circumstances. Everything seems so hard. Things are not going right, not the way you planned. You need a rest. And that's why God gave us this required rest, this mandatory blessing to rest. So learn to use this day as God intended, to rest physically to rest mentally, to rest spiritually in God, and to be reoriented with an eternal perspective, and you will learn to find your delight in the Lord. Isaiah 58 ends talking about this day of rest. And it says that as you learn to cherish this day of rest, you will find your delight in the Lord, and He will make you ride on the heights of the earth. The picture of refreshment. Learn to find rest on the Lord's day, and God will refresh you. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank You for the blessing of rest. Thank You for a day of rest, a rest that You've made mandatory for our weekly routine. Don't let us quickly bypass this or throw it to the side, but let us treasure this day to rest physically and spiritually. And remind us today of the eternal rest that awaits us. And let our perspectives on life and our situation be reoriented. Reoriented according to the perspective of heaven. Let us be refreshed this day. Let us find our delight in You. And make us to ride on the heights of the earth. For the glory of our King, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.